Professor, and welcome to the Ultimate Mercury Retrograde Report. My name is Eric Francis, here with some information about the 2015 Mercury Retrograde in Gemini. Gemini in your chart is the 12th house, 12th solar house if you are Cancer Sun, 12th house by whole signs if you are Cancer Rising. So for our purposes, they're the same thing. The simplified, clarified tarot spread we're using has Mercury in the 12th, rather Gemini and Mercury in the 12th place, the one right before your sign. And that is an interesting zone in the horoscope because it is all about your inner life, basically your deep, deep inner life, and also your imagination, your dreams, the side of your consciousness that you do not necessarily put forward, but that you sort of carry around with you all the time. And I've always thought that it was a good placement for Gemini to be in the 12th house, since it illustrates clearly the kind of, polarized nature, the polarized nature of the 12th house, odd dualism, that's the word. And that is the essence of the 12th house, has a kind of a dualistic nature, kind of nature where it's really always asking or presenting you with what is true and what is not. The 12th house is the house of dreams. It is the house where you can have this profound experience that seems absolutely real, with its whole own internally manifest kind of branch of logic, and then turns out, well, it's not exactly real. It's some other kind of reality. So the 12th house is that other kind of reality. And as such, it is about direct spiritual experiences, clairvoyant experiences, contact with your ancestors, as well as your inner life in its most vivid form, that is to say dreams, your imagination, meditation experiences that you might have, creative process that is often expressed in other ways, and then experiences that you have that are based on your use of any potential substance. Entheogenic substance, even alcohol, can get you into a 12th house state. So a 12th house state is where you are having some form of experience of yourself that you can then turn around and say, wow, was that real? So for example, it can include those profound, awesome sexual experiences that happen every time where you wake up the next morning and the whole thing seems like a dream. They can include actual dreams where it seems absolutely vivid and then you wake up thinking, how is it possible that that wasn't real? And in a more sublime sense, there is the ongoing choice you have about who you are and how you present yourself to the world, and the inner logic of your own mind and your own consciousness and where it meets the logic of the world around you. We all know there is a little discrepancy there. One last thing about the 12th house is that it can represent your fears. And this is likely to be a theme with Mars and Mercury involved, and also with a planet very closely related to your sign, a sign very closely related to your sign, that being Pisces, is directly involved. We'll get to that in a moment. So let's start with this concept of sorting out what is real and what is not. What is truth and what is fantasy? I would say that that is a dominant, if not the leading theme of this Mercury retrograde for you. What is true? What is not? What is real? What is not? What is fact? What is fiction? What is fantasy? And what is reality? And discovering that the difference between these things is subtler than you may have thought. You may have for a while been of the belief that there is such a thing as absolute truth, that ultimately everything can be either verified or not, proven or not. And what you may be discovering in the course of this Mercury retrograde is that there is a relative quality to many forms of what we think of as truth, and that there is a a slippery quality that things can have, certain things can have, when we try to prove them, such as, for example, proving who or what you are, proving who or what you believe. And this slipperiness is emphasized by a series of Mercury square Neptune, and also in late May, what I think is the peak of this Mercury retrograde experience, Mercury conjunct Mars square Neptune. And in that is all kinds of doubt that is possible. And it looks to me like you confront some inner fear that you have been carrying around for a while. And you get to determine to the best of your ability whether that fear is something real or whether it is something that is just imaginary, whether it's something that you are basically making up. And what is the difference between the two? And what is the power that imaginary fear might have over you? Even if something is imaginary, that doesn't mean that it doesn't have power. In fact, I would say that one of the major themes of the 12th house is the power that the imagination has over your total consciousness, over who you kind of become in the world, influenced above all else by your own awareness. Who we are, I don't think is an absolute thing, though we may have this thing called a soul. We may come in with a set of original intentions or original instructions, but here on this particular plane of reality, there is a lot of, let's say, leeway in terms of how we express those things, and the truth of who we are can certainly seem to be organized in layers. And for you, this is made a bit more complex because we're talking about the 12th house. We're talking about a place where there is the possibility of something seeming very real, but it isn't as real as it seems, or something seeming like it's not real, but is much more real than it seems. And so over these weeks, there is this necessity, I would say, described for reflecting on the nature of where your imagination intersects with what we call reality. It's a bit complex. The 12th house is a bit complex. And I would say, look, the bottom line here is, what is it about what you worry about? What is it about what you are afraid of? And what is the bottom line on the destructive nature of fear? And what is it that you are doing about that? So there's a kind of an experiment implied in challenging your fears, challenging your existential fears, putting them to a kind of a test to see what is actually true for you and what is something that's just more a function of your concern, your worry, and where does that come from? You know, who's worrying are you actually doing? And I say that because the 12th house does have this kind of dustbin quality where the karma of your ancestors can collect, and that karma includes their contradictory view on life. So there are certain contradictions in your thinking, certain places where one belief system doesn't align with another belief system, and these can burn up a lot of energy for you, and they can also lead you down a road of worry and concern, or even outright panic that is not justified, but that is rather a psychological phenomenon that needs to be understood as such. So this is a good time for reflection, for meditation, and for, I would say, making contact with the spiritual path that you are on. Now, there's a quotation that's attributed to Carl Jung, one of the great and unrecognized thinkers of the 20th century, wherein Jung says that religion is often a substitute for religious experience. And I would expand that concept to say that spirituality is often a substitute for actual spiritual experience, and that notions of metaphysics as published in books, as told in the East-West bookstore, right? As told in the thinking of authors, that all of that is often a kind of a mask that is placed over one's direct experience of metaphysics and one's direct experience of existence and the kind of contradictions of existence, and that we are all having these deep existential experiences, whether or not we put them into words, whether or not we pause and recognize what they are. We are all getting clues, messages from behind the veil, messages from ancestors, intuitive guidance, but then we are confronted by all of these other layers of teaching, of religion, of speculation, of the words of supposedly wise people, and there can be a kind of a conflict between the two of them, between the ideas in books and the ideas that are in your own mind. And I'm not suggesting who here is necessarily right or wrong, but what I'm suggesting is that there is a reconciliation process that is necessary and that you're likely to be going through that reconciliation process. So as part of this, one thing that's likely to happen is you may find yourself challenging some of your most deeply held beliefs or questioning things that have long gone unquestioned, that you have wondered what they were about, you have wondered, perhaps wondered what they were about, but not actually dug in and said, why exactly do I believe this? What is the source of this presumption? How is it that this thing that is so obviously questionable, I've never subjected it to questioning? I'll give one example. I was sitting talking to Joe, my mentor, the other day in a session, and he said, you know, rationalism is just one of many viewpoints. Okay, I could see that. There's many other viewpoints than rationalism, many things that cannot be rationally explained. Of course, rationalism says, nope, if it can't be rationally explained, there's just a rational explanation waiting and that we're going to find someday. There must be a rational explanation. And he said, take, for example, cause and effect. Is that really a true law, or is that just one point of view? So I thought about it. I kind of sat there staring at the ceiling for a while, and I thought, well, we do assume that to be true. On the other hand, there seems to be a huge disconnect between actions and consequences, and yet many experiences in life teach us that there are actually multiple causes and multiple effects of things that happen, and existence is very rarely reducible down to there is one cause that led to this one effect. And just based on that alone, we have an issue with the law of cause and effect, which says that there is a cause and there is effect. Well, what if there are actually multiple influences and multiple outcomes? That does seem to be the case. And so consider that to being a model for you. You may have a kind of closet rationalism. You're a very intuitive person. That intuition may make you wonder about the ways in which you are permeable, the ways in which you're open to influences outside of what is conventionally agreed to be possible, and you may protect yourself with a kind of logic and rationalism because, for example, the line of thought goes, well, if that's true or not true, then what else is true or not true? If it's possible for there to be this form of communication without, for example, using the body or the senses, then what else is possible? Then could there be such a thing as goblins or poltergeists? So one way to compensate for that is to say, well, I'm only going to accept in what is rationally true. The problem with that theory is that there's a lot that rationalism cannot explain, and the biggest thing that cannot be explained is the nature and the origins of your own mind. So the whole study of cause and effect is completely moot if the mind that is studying the cause and effect cannot in itself be accounted for. And we get this kind of, the joke that it's turtles all the way down, you know, that reality is, being held up by a turtle. And what's holding up the turtle? Well, it's turtles all the way down. That doesn't really explain things very well. That's why it's a kind of a joke. Now, the spiritual quest here of this Mercury retrograde, I would say, really is about fear. This is about, as far as I can see, the confluence of events that particularly peaks in late May is about understanding the nature of fear for you, why it exists, what its psychic sources are, and what it is that you can do about it, so that basically you are freed from this. You are in a state where you are not dominated or ruled by your fears. So this is not any kind of an abstract exercise. There's really something in here about feeling better and feeling sane. Going through the day happily, going through the day without so much or without any, if that's possible, anxiety. Certainly with less anxiety and a better handle, a better understanding on your anxiety and why it is that it affects you so much, remembering there are likely to be multiple causes and multiple effects, but there seems to be something here that you really can work out and work out in a kind of a beautiful way. Now, there are a number of other factors in this, and one of the major factors of this Mercury retrograde is the presence of Virgo in your chart. And the theme of writing is so meaningful to this whole Mercury retrograde that I may do a separate segment on it, a separate rant on the importance of writing, but I cannot overemphasize the importance of writing for you now as part of this process of weeding out that which is difficult to describe, that which is difficult to see, to understand, because it's in your 12th house. You can't really grab it. It's like you need a dream catcher to catch it. But there's something else going on, which is that Mercury also rules Virgo, and Virgo is the third house from your sign. So Cancer is in your charts is the first house, whether you're Cancer rising, Cancer sun, followed by Leo, followed by Virgo. Virgo is a Mercury-ruled sign, and the third house has as one of its most important themes written communication, also cognition, also devices that are used for this, but let's just stick to the writing part. You are likely to have many experiences over the next month or so. Indeed, this retrograde will have influences into early July because Mercury is in Gemini through early July. So this is a long process. And the thing about this for you is there's so much going on that defies description, that defies explanation, that one of the ways to get that dream catcher working is to put things in writing, to keep a diary. A personal diary would seem to be the best thing to do, though you may be the kind of writer who is able to get your most intimate thoughts into places where you feel comfortable expressing them. I would say it would be altogether better if you hold your energy and not publish things. Now, because the 12, not publish things to the public, but to yourself, very important. Get this down. Now, one of the most vivid themes of the 12th that I have seen is sexual experience and sexual fantasy and the psychology of sexuality. And there is a whole bunch of this going on, and it may be on the level of your hidden sexual identity and also the polarities within your sexual identity. Thankfully, the whole conversation about sex has at least evolved to the point where this is mentionable, where there is some, empathy for the idea that people are not necessarily who they think they are. And what I'm suggesting here is that there is a lot of room for you to experiment with who you are, to experiment with, let's say, the other side of your sexuality, with other influences or polarities. Let's say, for example, you tend to be someone who is more outgoing and more dominant. Well, there's an invitation to experiment with the more receptive or passive side. Let's say you tend to be more feminine. There's an opportunity to express your more masculine side. Let's say, for example, you are bisexual, but you predominantly have relationships with people of the opposite sex. Well, this would be a chance to have some experiences with the same sex, or vice versa. You might be bisexual and experiment with mostly play with associate people of the same sex. Well, this would be a chance to try the other polarity, to take a more circumspect approach, but mainly the Gemini is involved, to try out the opposite of what you normally are. And a safe place to do this is in your imagination, and a workable place to do that is to put it in writing so that you have some record, some documentation of what it is you're thinking, and this will help you map out consciousness around these ideas, and that's really, really helpful. I think that in many ways, a great number of people are torn apart by their inner sexual and relational, emotional polarities, and can't easily let themselves be this other thing that they might contain inside, let themselves express this other aspect of who they are. And again, it really could be anything. It could be a promiscuous side. It could be a prudish side. It could be a gay side, a straight side, a name all the different possibilities. You are likely to know what I'm talking about because you contain these things. You think of them, you imagine them in some way, but now your imagination is really going to be stoked. And I will tell you that some of these concepts, thoughts, and possibilities may seem dangerous. They may seem to threaten something, and that thing that they may threaten is your previously established sense of self. But remember, there's one vitally real thing about your sense of self, which is that your sense of self cycles. You are Cancer in the first house, Cancer sun or rising, and so really you never actually experience yourself one way for very long. You're in a constant process of cycling and of experimenting. So if you let that process of cycling and experimenting work for you, and you give yourself some room to be circumspect, give yourself some room to experiment with the possibilities of what you feel, desire, and imagine, you can do that either without much fear or using fear as a kind of a fuel that you burn and get some thrust out of. And remember that you think what you think, whether you let yourself think you think it or not. And what I'm suggesting here is that you bring what you're thinking, feeling, and imagining up to the surface, let it percolate and bubble up, and just see it, sniff it, experience it, sketch it out with a pencil in your notebook for what it is, rather than attempting to judge it. Okay, that is the basic drift of this Mercury retrograde for you. Of course, there's other details. I'll have more to say in your Cancer birthday reading that comes out in about a month and a couple of weeks. Do that as soon as I possibly can. I'd like to have that out before the sun ingresses Cancer, so take a look for that. I'll go deeper into this whole theme. If you are a Cancer sun, look up your rising sign. You'll need your time of birth for that, and you'll need to cast your chart either at astro.com, or someone can on the Planet Waves team can help you cast your chart and find out your rising sign, and listen to the reading for your rising sign. That will give you another point of view. I would also say, as someone born under the sign Cancer, of all the signs that would benefit from listening to their moon sign, yours would be the one, since the moon is the ruling planet of Cancer. Okay, thanks for listening. A pleasure, as always, working with you. And I'll catch you over in a different sign in a different moment. Bye for now.